Clare v Cork in an All-Munster Hurling Championship decider in September. It's West v North in the football semi-final this week as Mayo hope to reach another All-Ireland final. Mickey Hart's Tyrone though stand in their way, and no doubt they'll have something to say about that. This is Talking GAA, I'm Dave O'Grady. Remember, if you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're also The World's Talking on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's @TheWorldsTalking without the G, or just search for Dave O'Grady. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by, making his debut on the show, Kevin Bulger of GAAMatters.com and GAABanter.ie. Kevin, two terrific sites. You guys provide a lot of information for GAA fans, and particularly on GAABanter.ie, a lot of funny stories that get wrote and a lot of great comments.
Yeah, thanks very much for the compliment there. I suppose GAA Banter's only been really up and running about 2 or 3 weeks. It's kind of a different side of GAA that I don't think we really have at the moment. It's a less serious, more joking side to the GAA world, like, but it's something I think we are in desperate need of.
It's funny, Kevin, because I'd imagine with the types of GAA clashes that we have in both the football and hurling championship, we have an All-Munster All-Ireland final now, and the Cork and Dublin, you know, there's always going to be the old banter between, you know, the real capital and the Jacks and all. It's always going to drive a little bit of interest.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the more banter that people have between them, like, the more content we have for the site, I suppose. And I mean, when you look at the Cork Clare final now, it would have been ideal really for it to be a Cork Limerick final, especially with John Allen in charge of the Limerick team. I'd say there would have been serious banter between the Limerick and Cork side, but I mean, there's plenty of material there anyway for a funny clash between the two of them.
Yeah, it's great stuff. That's GAABanter.ie, and it's @GAABanter on Twitter. Excellent stuff altogether. Now, we're also joined by freelance GAA correspondent Colleen Duffy, who's taking a trip back from a match on Bus Air. And now, Colleen, we all know you travel around, but this is living proof that you do get around the country. The four corners of Ireland gets visited by the great Colleen Duffy.
Going from Galway to Dublin at the minute as it happens, and I think my plans are in my head correctly, I think I'll be seeing all four provinces this week as well.
Fantastic stuff. Well, let's get down to the business, lads. And last Sunday, Davy Fitz got his wish with Clare getting past Limerick to reach the All-Ireland final for the first time since 2002. Colleen, a huge result for Clare, who really controlled the game for most parts, I think.
Definitely, and I know this whole hurling conversation is and should be dominated by two words or one word, depending what way you look at it, Hawkeye, and the fact that it wasn't used at all in the senior game yesterday for the first time in Crow Park this year. That just kind of, I suppose, is something we might talk a bit more in depth later on, but we shouldn't detract from Clare's magnificent win as well. The first All-Ireland final out for them since 2002. To be honest, in some way I'm surprised, but overall my overriding feeling is that I'm not surprised. I know we talked last week about how hard it was going to call going into the game, but as I said last week, the way Clare have played to date this year, they continue to amaze and surprise. And again, another All-Ireland semi-final next weekend for 18 of these players to look forward to. They have an All-Ireland under-21 semi-final in Semple Stadium next Saturday evening.
Yeah, Kevin, to come to yourself, it really is an amazing period of time in hurling for Clare. Colleen mentions with the under-21 and everything, but I think Clare, we've seen they were quite dominant over Limerick for most of the game. It will be very disappointing from a Limerick point of view. I mean, the hype in the city was, and county I should say, was unbelievable, and disappointing of course as well, the Miners defeated in Crow Park last weekend as well.
Yeah, and I actually studied in Limerick, and I know the Limerick sports fans are, they're truly really passionate and genuine sports fans, and obviously the loss will have hurt them. But I mean, I have to say I was completely shocked by the result, because I really thought this was going to be Limerick's year. From watching them playing this year, I thought they were a really good traditional hurling side, and they had a lot in the tank. And I think I was talking to Andy Comfort on the day, and he had worries about Limerick stepping outside of the Gaelic grounds, and he felt that maybe that the pressure might get to them. And I think it really did get to them when they got to Croke Park, and maybe the ghosts of 2007, back when they were beat by Kilkenny, kind of showed up again on the pitch, because they never really showed up on the day, and it was disappointing to watch. But not taking that away from Clare there. I mean, Clare were really fantastic. I mean, without ever really excelling in the game, they still managed to score 122, which is, you know, no easy, no soft score in there, like.
Yeah, there was periods, Kevin, of the match where we did see Limerick getting back into their stride, but was it a case that they were lacking just a cutting edge?
Well, I think I remember early in the first half, maybe with 20 minutes gone, Limerick had 14 wides or something like that. But they had 14 shots on goal, maybe 5 or 6 points over the bar. I mean, there was that, just the fine-tuning was just not there. I mean, they had the chances to put the game to bed, but they were putting them wide, or... There was a lot of, in the second half especially, I feel like they were losing nearly every second battle in the midfield, or every battle in the midfield. You know, every 50-50 ball was going Clare's way. And, you know, the first half, and you see Shane Dowling coming on, and, you know, it was really, their performance was really typified by his sideline cut that he missed twice, you know, which is, you know, it's only a small incident in a big game.
But when the pressure's on, I suppose.
It kind of it was symbolic to how Limerick performed yesterday. It was just shaky and nervous and not really up to what the standard you expect from them at this stage.
Yeah, Colleen, to come to yourself, it was a special day of hurling again. The atmosphere in Croke Park really was electric. We talked about the Dublin-Cork clash the previous week, but this did certainly live up to expectations, and I think Clare getting over the line was certainly a monkey off their back. You know, they've had it a difficult time in recent years, but to be in another All-Ireland final is huge for the Banner County.
A game worthy of the large crowd, which is going to be added, of course, a sellout crowd. And I suppose one looks at the hurling final, sometimes the ticket hunt, it's not as great as it would be for its football counterpart, but certainly every hurling fan and every GA fan will want to be at an All-Ireland hurling final. Now, amazing to think that the crowd was pretty much the exact same yesterday as it was the previous weekend, meaning that 125,000 people watched the two All-Ireland senior hurling semi-finals and the two All-Ireland minor semi-finals as well. I'm just wondering already what Clare can pull out of the bag to beat Cork now, because in some respects Cork will probably be the favourites.
They will indeed, I'd say, be favourites. Kevin, to come to yourself on this, from a Cork point of view, will they be happy that it's Clare coming out?
I think absolutely, yeah. I think maybe with the Munster final defeat to Limerick, there might have been the edge there for Limerick, that they would have had the psychological edge. But I think coming up against Clare, maybe they might have the edge over them. I think Cork are a really fantastic team, though. They're really showing their colours this year. You know, they've massively improved under Jimmy Barry Murphy. And, you know, I'd be tipping them at this stage to go all the way. But I think Clare will have... Davy Fitz is certainly the man, if anybody, to stop Jamie Barry Murphy. But I think after their performance against Kilkenny, there's few doubts over whether they have the mettle to go all the way.
Indeed, and as you said, Cork, Clare, if we had have known, Kevin, at the start of the year that this was going to be the All-Ireland final, I don't think anybody would have believed you.
No, a repeat of the relegation final isn't really what you'd expect, is it? In All-Ireland final. But then again, it's not really a typical year. You know, you've seen Tipperary been knocked out in the qualifiers, Kilkenny falling them out in the quarter final, and, you know, Galway, last year's All Ireland runners up, were knocked out again by Clare in the quarter final. So I mean, it hasn't been your typical year. You had two Division 2 sides or Division 1B sides in the semi finals, and it hasn't been a traditional year. But in some respects, I suppose, I can't remember who was saying it, but it probably would have been better to see maybe a Limerick or Clare in the final alongside maybe Dublin. I think somebody said it's not a vintage year if Cork are involved, Cork being one of the traditional heavyweights of hurling, but still, after so many years being on the sidelines, it's great to see them back on top.
Just before I leave this topic, lads, I want to look at the whole Hawkeye debate. Now, we've seen, Colleen, that it malfunctioned in the minor match. Now, the GAA have spent hundreds of thousands on developing this software, and they've said it's not a GAA matter, it's a Hawkeye matter. What do you make of this whole malfunction?
If you spend the money, I expect to get the service. That's basically it for any sort of thing, I suppose. But the whole background into it, I suppose, it costs €250,000. Specsavers are the sponsor for a non-disclosed sum. So one would reckon that most of that cost, if not all of that cost, has been covered by that sponsorship. In fairness, this is actually not a GA problem. It is a Hawkeye problem, and in the sense of the technology not working. But I heard an interesting discussion on Galway Bay FM earlier about Hawkeye, and one of the questions was being posed was, is Hawkeye actually in the GAA rules? Now, to my understanding of the situation, Hawkeye is in the GAA rules in the sense that the referee's decision is final, and that's a very clear-cut rule in all aspects of Gaelic games. On this occasion, the graphic showed that the flight of the ball went between the posts, but as we know from today's papers and the Sunday game yesterday, the graphic that came up on the screen said a miss. Now, if the referee was eagle-eyed enough, and if he had been watching it, or the people upstairs, and then the referee would have been informed that actually this graphic shows that the ball went between the posts, and the decision you should make is to award a point. And the referee, on his own judgment, could actually decide that yes, this was a point. It did not have to go with what the Hawkeye graphic at the end said. So to go back to where I said that this is a Hawkeye problem, if you went down to the nitty-gritty, I think it's technically also a referee problem, in that the referee, to the best of my understanding, actually could have called it as a point, and we wouldn't have had this problem as big. We would have had the problem in the fact that there would have probably been a bit of steering from the supporters and the crowd in terms of, well, why was the graphic saying one thing and the animation saying another, and then the referee making the decision that it was a point. But ultimately, everybody would have been happy because the referee would have made the right decision. So I'm afraid if, and I think I'm 99.9% sure what I'm saying is correct, technically it's actually the referee that's at fault, not necessarily the software fully to blame. So again, a human error can come into play. I mean, technology is only as good as the humans that create it or use it at the end of the day. So I'm afraid, and this to the best of my knowledge, I'm afraid the decision in some part, and obviously Hawkeye has to come into play as well, but it's probably 60-40 in the favour of it actually being the referee majorly at fault rather than totally the system failure.
Yeah, Kevin, to bring you in on this, what did you make of the failure? Obviously a huge talking point in GAA circles this week with the amount of money. Colleen says it's, you know, a good, the referee could take a chunk of the blame, but what was your assessment of it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Cody brought up the whole aspect of, you know, the rules surrounding Hawkeye, and I think when you look back at the referee, he did look almost confused when he saw the graphic, and he, of course, he went along with the graphic that said miss, but I don't think he knew what to do. He probably saw the graphic that showed going over the post, and he saw the miss, and he went along with the second graphic. Now, according to the guys up in the box, I think one of the TV3 presenters, Kieran McSweeney, tweeted out saying that the miss was actually correct, and that the first graphic was inconsistent, or there was some sort of technical difficulties there. But I think definitely they need to look into maybe the regulations surrounding it, maybe clarifying that with referees, because the referees didn't seem to know what to do yesterday. I think that was one of the main problems.
Yeah, certainly. They wouldn't have trained for that, Colleen, when Hawkeye was first introduced.
Well, definitely, that's for sure. And the other thing I would say, actually, I've been present practically for all of these Hawkeye decisions in Crow Park. The first time it was actually used was for, the Christy Ring, the Nicky Racker and the Laurie Maher Cup Finals in terms of hurling. And then that particular day, one thing that stood out for me was that every decision that went to Hawkeye, the decision that was made by the umpires was the exact reverse to the decision made by Hawkeye. And that kind of brought into question maybe that for those particular competitions, the referees and the officials would be slightly lower than you would have seen yesterday in Croke Park. And just interesting kind of from that perspective as well. It does have its merits. There is no question about it. I don't think You know, there's a lot of conjecture in the press box yesterday over Hawkeye and different things, and it being a system failure, if you like, or that Hawkeye isn't a good system at all. I don't think that was what the problem is. Like, people were talking about how it was configured and different things like that. I honestly believe that this is just a rare technological glitch. I mean, this is a system that we have to remember that was trialed for the use of Gaelic games in the last two summers, and that also is used in cricket, in Premiership soccer in England, and a lot in Wimbledon with ball speeds of, you know, over 100 miles an hour. And but this is a system that, you know, it's just unfortunate, I think, that yet again it seems to be an unfortunate thing with the GAA that every so often we have to have the controversy coming from the most likely of sources. Most unlikely of sources. And here's another one, and I'd say those Hawkeye people coming over, they've probably flown in. There's a meeting in Croke Park tonight, I believe, and you know, that's, they're probably baffled. I mean, this to give you the magnitude of this, this has made the news wires over in England as well. When I woke up this morning, I was in the company of a guy who works in local radio, and we're checking through the early sports wires, and the IRN wire over in England was reporting the Hawkeye malfunction in Croke Park. So that'll tell you how big a deal in terms of sports news worldwide this is, because obviously there'll be questions in Premiership soccer, cricket, etc., as to the reliability of this technology as well.
Yeah, that debate I think is going to go on and on, and with technology coming into sport, it's opened up a real can of worms regarding that. Really fascinating stuff there. Thanks for that, Colleen. Now, I want to move on to the football lads, and Tyrone's Conor Gormley. He's free to face Mayo this week, and no doubt Tyrone will have missed the September party in Croke Park over the past few years. Mayo have crushed the All-Ireland champions Donegal, which should make them favourites going into this clash. Kevin, what kind of game are we expecting to see? I know Mayo have been playing a pretty free-flowing football game, while Tyrone have been pretty rigid but effective as usual.
Well, sure, look, I mean, Joe Gardley will obviously be looking at the Tyrone team fairly closely, and the cynical fouling all that. I think you're going to see a bit of that. You're going to see a bit of a rigid style from Tyrone, kind of similar to what Donegal were playing a couple of years ago when they were trying to break into the side. And you have Mayo then obviously be more free-flowing and attack-minded. It's going to be a case of, you know, it's going to be a case of Mayo being on attack and Tyrone trying to stop people playing, I feel, which is something we're seeing a lot more in football these days. Is you either have a team trying, you have one team trying to play and one team trying to stop the other team from playing. Personally, I think Mayo are just, they look incredible this year. They really look, they're firing on all cylinders at this stage. You know, they really hit the ground running in the championship with the likes of Killian O'Connor and others for Mayo. I think they may overwhelm Tyrone, and Sean Cameron will probably be the key for Tyrone if they are to counteract Mayo and score up the other end, and keep Mayo, if they can keep Mayo quiet and put the scores up, they have every chance. But I think Mayo might be too strong this.
Okay, Colleen, would you go along with that? Kevin says Mayo might be just too strong this time round. Tyrone will be setting out to stop Mayo from playing, but Mayo just might have too much for them.
Mayo to blow Tyrone apart. I can't see anything else, and I will leave my hat if that turns out to be the reversal next weekend. And I would have fancied Tyrone a bit more if they weren't so caught up in this Joe Bolly thing. That isn't an anti-Tyrone thing, that isn't an anti-Sean Kavanagh thing per se, it's an anti-act of what happened in that particular instant, and that passage of play of dragging them first. Nobody likes that. And you know, I always hate in, sorry, I know this is kind of digressing from focusing on Mayo Tyrone per se, but I always hate when people look at analysis, and particularly some of my colleagues in the media, and then they try and dissect it as part of this big circus. I mean, Joe made a valid point. Joe probably said too much and turned it into a bit of a circus in making his point, but the core of Joe's point was valid, and you know, that's the important thing that should come out of that whole thing about Sean Kavanagh. Not that it was anti-Sean Kavanagh or anti-Elf, and what has come from that was a one-page document which was handed to the media at the Tyrone press meetings last week outlining how they're not as cynical fowlers as people might think, and they've been sinned rather, they've been sinned against rather than sinning and stuff like that. And then when that page was peeled apart, you know, people were saying, well, this isn't actually the case, and some of this actually isn't factual, and including Philip Jordan, Tyrone player, who was saying this could come back and bite us, and, you know, this is not what we want heading into a game like this. I would have given Tyrone a lot more of a chance in beating Mayo if this circus wasn't around, but I think the focus is somewhat being lost. And one thing I would say as well is, normally, yes, like that point I make, it is, it would be valid in a lot of circumstances, but I feel it's stronger validity now based on the fact that Tyrone have quite a young squad, and these are a group of players that need to be fully focused on what really matters, and that's the football game, not hearing about these sideshows, talking to their friends. And, you know, they've performed well so far this year, but the way Mayo have been performing, I mean, they're shooing. I mean, Aidan O'Shea, I see with the bookies, is a favourite. A press release came out from a certain company close to your own heart, and came out today with Aidan O'Shea as favourite for Footballer of the Year already. You know, and that's before there's a kick of the ball in an All-Ireland semi-final, of either All-Ireland semi-final. So, and the likes of Killian O'Connor, outstanding. I won't say he'll get three goals for a third game in succession, but really it's Mayo's to lose.
Mayo's to lose. And Kevin, just finally before we wrap up the show, would you agree with Colleen's point that Tyrone have brought this circus on themselves? We've seen the press release that they have sent out to the media, which might show a little bit, as some people would say, paranoia on Tyrone's part, but this could be their downfall.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, when it comes to sport, one of the key attributes you can have is focus, and focusing on the task at hand, which you see on Sunday when John Annan was the pre-match interview with David Fitton. He was completely focused on one goal, and that was to beat Limerick. He even commented on John Annan saying, I'm not going to talk about the red cards and that. And you see the focus is important, and you see Mayo, they just completely focused on their right and the wrong of last year and playing exam, whereas, you know, Tyrone really, just in interacting with the whole Joe Brawley fiasco, they're kind of stooping to a level that they really shouldn't be. You know, they're showing that they're not really focused on Sam. They're focused on fighting the whole media circus surrounding it when they really should be brushing it off and making little of it. So, I mean, really, Tyrone have brought it on themselves. I think the fact sheet was really childish in a way. I mean, it was something they didn't have to do and something they probably shouldn't have done. And I think Mayo, they just have too much focus, and they're going to, as Coyne said, blow Tyrone out of the water on Sunday.
Hopefully the off-the-field talk will be transformed on the pitch and we'll have a great game altogether. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time here on Talking GAA. My thanks to Colleen Duffy and Kevin Bulger for joining me. Don't forget to email us with your thoughts to dave@talkingsport.org. You can also tweet us. It's @TheWorldsTalking without the G at the end, or just search for Dave O'Grady. And you can like us on Facebook. We are The World's Talking. We'll do it all again next week. Until then, goodbye.